Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sitting across from a broadcasting legend, Bob Pompiani. Sitting directly across from a hockey hero, Tyler Kennedy. I'm just John Seibel. To my left is Austin City Limits Bechtold. Welcome to Pomp and Joe. It's Tyler Kennedy Thursday, which means Tyler, Stanley Cup champion, is in with us for the first hour. And I have a question. Well, first I have a question for everybody. Are we all okay? Do we want to inquire with each other? Bob, doing well?
I'm doing
except for the mic.
Other than the microphone not being turned on, I'm doing well, yeah. Thanks,
anybody Joe. Who sits in that seat carries on the tradition of Ron Cook, which is not turning on the mic.
I know that. It must be just sitting in this area. I'm going to have to change seats, I think.
Tyler, everything well?
Yeah, pretty good. You know, I wish there was a little bit more sun and a little bit less rain, but
I know.
Got to get through the bad weeks to get to the good ones.
That's what happens, though, in this month leading into May.
I know. It kind of like it's that tipping point, you know, like it's a tough month for
them.
We're getting impatient.
Can't take it anymore. Wonder Twin, everything good in your world?
Everything's good in my world, Joe. Good to be here today and see you guys.
Who does he look more like, Tyler? And I mean these both as a compliment. Jimmy Neutron or Jim Carrey in Ace Ventura, Pet Detective? Which is it?
What do you think's the better compliment there,
Which
Tyler?
Is a great movie, right? Both are great movies.
Oh, Ace Ventura.
Yeah. I mean, Jimmy Neutron wasn't a movie, but Ace Ventura is. It was. Bob, is that an all-time great movie?
Yeah, it's a really good movie.
I agree.
It's not one of my favorites, but it's a good one.
Tyler?
Yeah, I love anything, especially he had those three big ones, you know, that were like lights out, like Ace Ventura.
Liar, Liar.
Liar, Liar. Like those were unreal.
Cable Guy, was that one of them?
The Mask.
The Mask, yes.
Was another good one. You know, yeah, those are all hits. But you ever? It's now I try to like get my kid to watch like the shows that like I thought were unreal. You know, like
Berenstain Bears, Scooby Doo,
Dumb and Dumber,
Dumb and Dumber. Yes,
some of those, and they have like no interest. I know they're young, but like they don't think those jokes are funny. And I'm like, I lived on these jokes through like elementary.
It's an acquired thing with young kids, though. They don't get it yet.
I've run into the same thing with music. I'm like, you got to listen to this. Yeah. And my daughter's like, this is horrible.
Yeah.
They don't know. Shuts it off.
I'm trying. I get the same response with golf. I'm trying to get the grandkids to swing. And eventually, I think they will. But it's right now, it's not really in their wheelhouse. You know what I mean?
It's such a tough sport, golf, for young kids because it's so. Like, it's more mental, and it's a slower game, right? Like,
and you have to devote a lot of time to it.
Yeah.
And right now, their attention spans are not very high.
Yeah, like, you know, I bring my kid. I got, like, 10 minutes with them, and then it's like, but actually my...
They get bored?
My son's got a private lesson with Kevin Shields on Saturday.
Nice.
Should be me getting the lessons, but he's getting it.
He's the best, isn't he, Bob?
Kevin is one of the best teachers out there, yes.
So, Tyler, Jimmy Neutron or Ace Ventura? What do we got here with limits with the haircut?
I think Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
I like that answer. Yeah. Jimmy Neutron's a fictional character, so Ace Ventura, a real character in a good movie, I'll take it.
Excellent points. I can imagine Limits driving to work with the windshield out and him sticking his head out of the car like Ace Ventura.
Oh, that. You know when he's carrying a box? You know, he carries a box and he gets stopped in like the elevator. He goes, oh, Sorry.
That's our dear friend Limits. And I also think today, Tyler, and this is where we begin, with lots of hockey. One of the great leads in newspaper history was written in Buffalo by Tim Graham when the Sabres yet again were eliminated from the playoff race. And the next day he wrote in the paper, the lead was, gentlemen, start your golf carts. So I'm wondering, I don't know how many times you've been in a situation where your team's been eliminated, but I have to imagine, as professional as hockey players are, you're already thinking about where, Bob? What are the best vacation spots? You have to be already thinking about how you're going to spend this extra time. Where are you going to go? Turks and Caicos? Is that the name of it, Bob?
Turks and Caicos. We were there last year. Very nice place.
Yeah, Bermuda, St. Thomas, St. John.
You need just that opportunity to relax and unwind.
Is it hard to concentrate this late in the season when you're out of it?
Yeah, I think so. Unless you're fighting for your life and you're fighting for your job. You know, but if you're a long-term deal, like when you're on a, you know, more than a 1 or 2 year deal,
yeah.
Like I feel those guys got their bags packed, their plane tickets booked, and they're ready to go. It's such a long year and you're so scheduled. And like, I always say the best time of the year, obviously is playoffs, but when you get out of playoffs or when you win that month after, because you have no schedule, you are kind of free to do whatever you want. And it is like the funnest time of your life. Like, it doesn't matter from Monday to, you know, Friday, or it doesn't matter, you know, and you don't have that ever. So like, it's like, you know, it's like letting everything out and you have fun and the fun never stops. And, you know, that first trip you go on is usually like a banger. You know, you like light it up pretty good. And, you know, one place.
Six months worth of not doing it, and it all comes down to a couple of weeks where you just want to crash it.
Well,
all
you live by, like, your clock, you know? Like, you know, hey, 10 o'clock, I go to bed, 9, you know, what movies you're watching, when you're getting on the plane. Like, everything is so scheduled. And then when you get off your schedule, it's like, wow, this is unbelievable. That's why I think guys have such a hard time after their career because, you know, you're so scheduled from, you know, I was so scheduled since junior.
Yeah.
Like, since I was 15, I had a schedule until I was 35 where I was just like, this is what you're doing. For 9 months of the year, you're going to have 1 month off, and then you get back into the workout schedule. And then once you're done your career, you're like, after like 3 months, you're like, oh, my God, what am I doing here? You know, and that's why, like, right now, I try to book. Like, when I first got out and I kind of started working for myself with my own training stuff, I booked as much as possible because I needed to force myself to get up and do something just because, like,
it can go the other way. Yeah. You can get awfully lazy if you don't do that.
And, like, you know, you drive everyone nuts because you're crawling up the walls and, you know, people get divorced quick and all that just because, like, again, you're married and you have a spouse or you have a girlfriend and you're around for a week and everything's good and then you're gone for a week. You know, that's they always say, like, that's how you keep a healthy relationship.
Domestic tranquility.
Yeah.
You need separation.
Yeah, so you almost, you know, you got to learn to live with each other. But I think my wife's family, Brandy and her mom, we always used to go to Aruba. I'd never been to Aruba. We'd go to Aruba, and they would always preach about how nice the water and the wind and how beautiful was there. So we'd always go there after the year, and it was pretty unbelievable. But one of the craziest things is, you know, when they take you on, you know, the ride on the banana boat.
Oh yeah.
Half these guys are like ripped up, you know, driving the boats. So it was me and her brother on, like,
ripped up in terms of drunk or muscle bound or both?
No, more drunk and not sure what's going on in life, you know, because right. They're just driving the boat. Well, this guy was whipping us around and the guy put slack in the rope and it ripped us off the boat, but the rope went across my brother-in-law John's eye and almost took his eye off, but he almost had to get stitches.
Oh my God.
Went back to the shore and he was bleeding like everywhere.
If he had played hockey, he would have been one-eyed Frank McGee from the Canadians. Remember him, Bob?
One-eyed Frank
Ron
McGee,
covered
yeah.
him.
Yeah, if you would have saw my mother-in-law, we went back to the you know, back to shore. She was ready to kill someone or sue someone. It was a pretty intense moment.
Well, Bob, I know you've taken a lot of good vacations in your life, but not enough. You work too hard. That's the way I feel.
That's the way I feel too. But there's going to be time, and when that happens, it'll be good. Although I have the same reservations that Tyler has. I'm sure you do too, Joe. After, no matter what you do, when it stops, especially if it stops and it's a cold turkey stop, that's hard.
It takes a while to catch up to the vacation.
You're so conditioned to do this, and you got to just figure out a different way to occupy your time. But vacation's a good way to do it.
But I feel like as long as I know it's coming, you know, like every day I'd go to the gym. You know, I'd start my day off with going to the gym.
Do you still go to the gym a lot? You look like you do. So I would imagine, is it the same as you were as a player? You try to continue that, or is it difficult with kids and everything else?
Well, it's tough to create time, you know. But right now, like, I'm on the ice so much training kids that, like, I don't, like, lose weight. I can eat anything, and I'm just kind of similar. But now I'm just starting to get back into the gym because I'm starting to feel sore all the time. And I'm like, oh, like, I need to start taking care of myself. So I've been going to the gym. I actually just started like 2 weeks ago, but just like, I'm not like lifting weights. I'm just trying to stay mobile where like my stretch. Hips don't hurt. Yeah. Just stuff like that. And you know, you never go to the gym and leave the gym not feeling good. You know, it's good for like mental clarity too, where you feel good about yourself because you started the day the right way, but you know, it's hard to find time.
Bob, have we asked Tyler about toilet squirrels?
No.
No? Well, we'll do that. We'll save that one for later.
That came back like, out of the blue.
I'm just rifling through topics in my mind here, Bob, and that one took off like wildfire that day, remember?
Like swirlies?
Yeah, I mean, things that could appear in your toilet while you're sitting on the toilet.
We'll do that later.
Oh, that's...
Could be a tarantula.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in Canada, like you go to my cottage, like we had an outhouse.
Oh, boy.
You know, like, you're going there. You know, that's the last place you're going if you have to go. You got to hold that thing for hours.
I'd rather go in the forest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, you know, you don't look down that hole. You don't do any of that, you know, but, you know. you know, that's just like, again, that's like how Canada was. You don't have running water at a lot of these cottages.
Well, I guess this was my round. Bob, I've had too much coffee today. It's unbelievable. I came in this morning with the morning show guy singing about Prince L. Brockenbro. You remember him?
No.
Larry Fitzgerald's receiver made it.
Oh,
pit,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Then he got injured.
Said that, yeah.
Very talented player.
You were out of the blue. That name came into your head.
Yeah.
I wonder what's in your head sometimes.
So do I.
Because you come up with things that out of the blue that I can never foresee.
I know. Wait till you hear the songs I have about you later. Off the air. I think they're pretty good. I wrote one last night. Anyway, Tyler, that's a roundabout way of wondering, is it hard to focus this time of year if you're the Penguins, for example? And I know they've brought up some young guys who are going to be fighting for their lives. Yeah. These are auditions. But generally speaking, when you're out of it this late in the year, it's got to be hard on guys, especially if they've won at the highest level. No?
Yeah, I think it's hard for, like, you know, Tanger, Melk, and even though Melk is not playing, I think it's harder for veteran guys, but I think they're so dialed in, like they'll get through it. But I think, you know, the young guys, it should be pretty easy. You know, there's a big opportunity to make a mark, make a statement with these last couple games left that, like, gives you a little bit of a head start or a little bit more of a positive going into training camp next year. And that's pretty inevitable that, like, this is a tryout for a lot of these guys getting called up. Like, what can they do? They're getting an opportunity. Like, McGorry's playing with
Crosby.
Sid. Yeah. Like, he looked a little nervous his first game. You can tell he was a little nervous because, you know, you go from playing the AHL to playing one of the best players ever play. You know, obviously he's going to be nervous, but I think they know it's a tryout. You know, I think they know it's a tryout. And then it's always tough when there's, like, that last six games because guys are always preparing. Like, I out of my 10 years, I made the playoffs 8 of the 10 years. I missed one in San Jose, and then I missed one in New Jersey. And I just remember, like, with a month left, you're already planning everything from getting rid of your place to where everyone's going and all that stuff. So it's, like, it's very different. You know it's coming to an end.
Well, let's talk about coming to an end, and the season comes to an end. So what happens then, Tyler, in the offseason? Because there are a lot of questions about a lot of players here. I know it's early in this process, but at some point they have to make some change with roster, with, you know, what they're trying to do in terms of insert younger players. That takes a little bit of time. It can't just be, okay, let's insert McGroarty here. Okay, let's you know, there are guys, and I guess my biggest emphasis this offseason will be what happens with the goaltenders and how much trust do they put in this Mirishov, who is lighting up in Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Is that enough to believe he can come up here and play? Because we saw Blomqvist come up here and, you know, he looked good for a while, and all of a sudden their defense made it tough on him, and he gave up some goals, and now he's back down.
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest question mark moving forward is the goaltending situation. And, you know, when you go from the East Coast to the AHL to the NHL, it's such a big difference. Like, the guys that are shooting in the A are great players. They're elite shooters. But when you come up and you're playing against Austin Matthews and McDavid's, they are like the next level. Like, it is – they're in the NHL on the top of their league because for a reason. They're just that much better. Like, easy way to put it, like, when I went down to the A, I was scoring 25, 30 goals in the A. When I came up, I was like a five-goal scorer, you know, and obviously it was opportunity and stuff. But it's just a lot easier to put up points down there and to, like, you know, I think be a better goalie because it's just a slower game, you know. And Mirishov, I think he's the future. I think there is a lot of positives, but it's so hard to put, like, all those eggs in one basket because he hasn't had an NHL shot come at him in an NHL game, and you don't know if he can handle it. Like, Blomqvist, they're just as high as on Blomqvist. And then he comes up, like you said, he played so good. And then there were some of those goals that you wanted back that you're like, he's not ready, because those are the key stops you need from a goalie that's trying to stay up. So I think that's a huge question. And I think, you know, Jari, one thing I think I saw differently from Jari was after he had a bad game in Buffalo, he came back and played pretty good, where he didn't let it keep going like, and he used to in, you know, November, December. He's kind of changed his mentality. He's being able to turn the page. Do I have confidence in him moving forward in next year that he's going to be a starter? Like,
the Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if, you know, the 20 games he's been up, he's kind of gained my trust in that. And then when you think of the forwards, like, when's it going to change where you do insert these guys full time and you ride the tough wave of losing games so these young guys get up and learn the NHL?
They seem like they're not willing to do that.
I know. And that's, I think that's a coaching mentality. You know, I think that's where I think Dubas sits down, you know, Sully, and they have a pretty collective agreement, like, hey, we don't care if we're going to make playoffs again this year, but we need to start seeing what we have in the future, because we do have, you know, salary cap. We have some money to spend, but, like, if you're a free agent like Marner, are you going to come to Pittsburgh? Like, yeah, you're going to be everything to the team. You're going to be the guy and get to play with Sid, but how long are you going to play with Sid? You don't know, you know, and usually a guy like that's going to want a long-term deal. So Pittsburgh's becoming a little bit harder to get players just because of, you know, the situation the team's in, the guys that are graduating eventually here soon, you know, or who knows soon, but, like, with Malkin, Tanger, Sid, you know, how many years?
I think Sid looks like he can go for another 5 years the way he's going. I mean,
man, it looks that way. Which of the young guys impresses you the most in this limited sample size we have?
Well, I like Timmins. I think Timmins is kind of bring in an element on defense that we haven't seen. Like, he's taken some healthy runs at guys. He plays a pretty nitty game, like a pretty good gritty game, and he's solid. You know, like, he's a solid defenseman that's pretty mobile. I just hope, you know, sometimes I see him jumping in all the time, and I'm like, no, you're not an offense. We have enough offensive defense. But just stay in your role and be that really good stay-at-home defenseman that makes a good pass, like a Dumoulin used to be. Dumoulin, you know, made a career being that stay-at-home solid D that the Penguins thrive for. But he's been one of the guys that I've really, really liked. So.
Well, I know this. Joe brought this up when we were coming in here about the technology that's involved in sports. And we see it on all levels. We saw it with the tush push and an innovative thing in football. And now the Yankees come to town with torpedo bats. So, Joe, this has to translate to every sport, doesn't it? People are trying to take advantage.
I mean, I would think I've seen hockey games, Tyler, where there's an illegal stick. And by the way, Stanley Cup champion Tyler Kennedy, brought to you by the certified elder law attorneys of Julian Gray and Associates, and Off the Top, presented by JP Roofing. Illegal sticks, whether it's a curve, whatever it might be, I'm sure you've seen a lot of that. Have you seen guys get away with it? And is there a sweet spot on a hockey stick like there is a baseball bat?
Yeah, so I think the biggest change I saw throughout my career was going from a two-piece stick to a one-piece carbon fiber stick, where it's one piece all together, or, you know, graphite stick, and you just get such a better feel on the puck. You know, I think the technology of sticks, and now the players know how to use them, you know, and when you think of the goal scorers, you think that, like, even when you go back to Phil Kessel, you know, the way he used his flex and the way he let the puck explode off his blade, like, that's letting the stick do the work, you know, and that's just technology. And, you know, when I think of the great goal scorers, like, one of the best goal scorers I saw was just, like, scored just a ton of goals was James Neal. He was unbelievable at scoring goals, but what he did, he had like a banana curve. He had such a huge curve, and he had a real flexible stick, and he would be like, when I flex my stick, my curve went smaller, but I was able to hold it into that sweet spot in the flex, and then when the goalie made the first move, I let the flex do the work, and that's how I'd beat a lot of the goalies. And I was like, wow, like, I'm not thinking like that, you know, but he was using the flex to outweight the goalie to let him make the first move, and then he let the, you know, let the stick do the work, and
like a golf club letting it do the work. You don't have to power it, right?
I try to power it.
So do I, but we shouldn't, right?
No,
we should,
I know,
let the club do the work.
I know it's
when does it become illegal? Now, I know there are measurements and there have been penalties for teams that have illegal sticks. Yeah. How much do they watch that now in this game?
Well, I like before, like in 09, 08, even 10, like, remember they used to call like illegal curves.
Yeah,
on
all the
sticks.
Time.
I don't even know if that's a penalty anymore, because when's the last time you ever heard that?
And I haven't.
Now, guys, like, you look at Ovechkin's stick, you can guarantee he's got an illegal curve on that stick. That thing is a banana.
Really?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
You know, but you're not going to, you know, that's like that petty kind of like, oh, illegal curve kind of stuff. And I don't even know if it's a rule anymore, but like, the curves on the sticks are huge, you know, because now the game, you don't score as many goals now from outside the house, which is like, you know, you draw a house in front of the net. Not too many goals are beat on a goalie outside the house. So they're so much closer in, and all the goal scorers and all the guys in the league now, they think like, I need a stick to get the puck up quick because I have less time. And then, you know, you need to have these high-tech sticks, because when you look at a goalie like Vasilevskiy in Tampa, like, he goes on his knees, there's nothing there, you know? Like,
just like Hellebuck, too.
Yeah, like, these guys are so big, and they're even mobile, and you need to have every advantage possible to beat these guys. And obviously, the flex and the explosion of the puck off the blade is one of them, but... You know, again, when you watch guys shoot in the NHL, especially the big shooters, like, you see it on their stick and then you see it hit the net. You don't see it flying through the air anymore because it's like exploding. It's popping off that stick.
Who had the hardest shot in the league when you played?
Chara. Chara was like...
Oh, my God.
I remember him.
Yeah.
Chara from the point, cranks it up at 100 and whatever miles an hour.
You ever block one, or accidentally or intentionally?
No, I wasn't a big shot blocker. You know, I wasn't. I wasn't brave enough, or I wasn't in the right position. But I remember one time it was in Pittsburgh, and I was lining up against Chara in our own end, and he went to hit me, and it was like, it was an offensive zone faceoff. Their forward won it behind Chara, and I kind of tried to sneak towards the boards, and he kind of hit me, and my helmet like folded in. You know when you feel your helmet like squeezing in and folding in? I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die here. You know, this is it, you know? And I was like, then you look up, you're like, wow, like this guy can actually like really like seriously hurt you just because of how big he was. And that like kind of scared me.
Well, Sid is one who keeps a stick without much of a curve because he has a lethal backhand. And yet, a part of Sid's game that we don't talk about is it seems when he wants to, like just the other night.
Yeah.
Didn't he score on a one-timer the other night where he absolutely ripped it? Like, he can do that, but his stick is unusual, right?
Yeah, so even when you see that, there's like slow-mo video of him shooting the puck, like his stick's like folded in half.
What do you mean?
Like his stick, that...
The flex in the middle of the stick?
Like his stick looks like a bow and arrow because he's flexing it so much and using it. And when you think of Sid, when he was scoring like, you know, 20, 25 goals, and then 1 year, I think it was in 10, he scored 50 goals. Remember he scored 50 goals 1 year? And he went to a one-piece stick, and he started adding more of a curve because I think enough guys were getting on him, and they're like, dude, you can't possibly keep up or get better at scoring with this god-awful two-piece stick that's straight, you know, and he started to change his curve just a little bit, and he just had just enough to get it up. Because last night, what did he beat? The goalie, over the shoulder on a one-timer. You need to have a curve to do that. But sometimes when you have a curve, you give up the backhand, but it seems like Sid's backhand has not changed. And what makes Sid, I always say, what makes Sid so good and so valuable and being able to produce and all that stuff, like, I always tell these kids that I train, like, you got to have a lot of tools in your toolbox, you know? And, like, when you think of Sid, the way he puts up points, the way he scores goals, like, he scores, like, a million different ways from behind the net to tips to one time. He's good at everything, right? And that's why he produces so much because he has so many tools in his bag on how to beat a goalie.
Bob, it's your turn to ask a question. I'm dominating the conversation here, and you keep looking over at me, making me nervous.
I'm not making you nervous.
Yes,
I thought
you are.
Maybe you had something else to add there. So,
I'm sorry.
Instead, we're going to go to the Alex Ovechkin. We do this every week. He's just on fire. I still can't believe he's missed 25 games, and I still can't believe he has almost 40 goals by missing 25 games.
He might do it in the next game.
Well, yeah, I was hoping now that he's within three, it could happen the next game he plays. He got one last night in a losing effort, and I think the Capitals, by the way, their goaltending is going to tell a tale here in this playoffs. They've had a wonderful regular season, but ultimately, and those two guys they have been good, but they haven't been through the test of the gauntlet of a playoff. So, but I do think, I was hoping it would go to the 17th. I really want to see it here.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think it's going to go that long.
Yeah.
Plus, they're feeding it. They have everything pretty much clinched. All they have to, they know it. All those players know we got to get him the puck as much as possible.
Right. And the way, like, the thing that scares me about that team is how they're rallying right now. Like, it looks like they enjoy going to the rink. They're such a tight-knitted group because they're going, like, you know, they're rallying around Ovi, and it looks like they're enjoying playing hockey. You know, they enjoy, like, everything.
They're young kids, and he's 40.
Yeah.
So they look at him like, you know,
exactly.
This is a surprised dude here.
Going to the rink is like winning the lottery every day because you see this guy who's going to beat Gretzky, you know, and the GM has done such a great job of surrounding those older guys with these hidden talent guys that have speed, like McMichaels, like who's like these young little fast guys that just rip around and make the team look fast when some guys aren't that fast. Like, they found a good chemistry with that. And, you know, Tom Wilson's having a hell of a year, you know.
He's a much better hockey player than people originally gave him credit for. He's turned into a really good goal scorer who can still defend players, hit people. He does it all.
And I think what makes him so good, like, he's a power forward. Like, a power forward is like finding a goal scorer now, because that power forward, he's going to score so many goals because half the guys are afraid to go near Tom Wilson because he can beat you up too. You know, if you want to cross-check me in front of the net, I'm going to turn around and beat the wheels off you. And he creates so much room, and he's got the ability to play with those top-end players. That's not easy. He's very good at playing off those guys, and they've worked with him, and they've done a great job developing him because, you know, 10 years ago, like, he was kind of a meathead, right? He'd be hitting guys from behind. When's the last time he had a suspension? No, they've really tamed him down and been like, hey, you're more of an offensive threat than, like, an instigator, run around, turn this game upside down. We need you on the ice. And he's kind of, maybe that's just maturity, but that's really helped that team. And the goaltending, I think they're so offensively skilled, and they have so many guys scoring goals that, like, I think you'll see it maybe in a little later rounds, but not right off the bat with their goaltending. It might get exposed, you know, in the
right. It still comes down to goaltending. I don't care how much scoring you have. If you let in goals in the playoffs, you're going to lose.